Hi. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus, when he came to earth, born and then began his ministry at the age 30, he gathered together himself 12 people that became known as the apostles. Now, when Jesus went out and spoke, after he finished speaking, he began to heal people. And as we read the Bible, it seemed like Jesus stayed around and healed everybody that came to him to get healing. Today, we need to do this kind of thing in our service. We need to offer a time to heal people by laying on hands. The healing message of Jesus and the actual acts that Jesus did that healed people didn't go away. We can heal people. Not us, but Jesus, but through us, with the gifts of healing. Healing can be done by a number of ways involving the other gifts of the Spirit, namely love. In your gifts of the Spirit, if you're operating in the love capacity that Jesus gives us, these will produce healings in the name of Jesus that are not the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing is would be something of a minister that has got that specific gift of healing so that they can go out and hold any kind of rally they want, and healings are just going to be there. The rest of us that doesn't have gifts of healing as a gift given to us, then we can also, and this is Jesus' will to do, heal people in pretty much the same fashion, but based in our love operations of the other gifts of the Spirit. And the basic idea of this is fairly simple. Speak, then heal. How can you go wrong? Of course, we do read on in the New Testament where you can sing songs, and of course we always got to give announcements. You know, how are you going to know anything unless you tell people when you're going to meet and various other kinds of stuff, and some maybe some news that is might be kind of interesting and you should tell others, you know. So we got a generally thing that what we see in church is a development simply because the first century believers. It wasn't too long before it turned out that we needed the people to help out. The apostles. Apostles found out that they were doing too much. And so they needed the help. And so they decided to have elders and deacons and stuff like this, which began, the Bible says, waiters on table. But it actually means that they fulfilled the function and they ministered mightily, but fulfilled the function to making the ministries of the apostles run smoothly so the apostles could spend more time preaching. And this is how the church began. Jesus began this by gathering together 12 deacons and elders, as it was, waiters on tables. The apostles started by helping Jesus. Hey, we got a lot of people that are hungry. Well, we don't got too much money. We can hardly even go buy a loaf of bread, and the shops are about to close. It's a pretty good hike over to the town. Well, what else you got? Well, this kid over here's got some fishes and some bread. Okay, sit everybody down in this many and begin feeding them out of that basket of fish and bread. And, you know, in this sense, and for a good part of that 3 years that Jesus was ministering, the apostles were actually just, you know, helpers of Jesus' speaking ministry. And so they were, one might say, actually started out as deacons and elders, maybe a little bit different category. But as when we hear about Stephen, how he was a mighty speaker in his own and did many miracles and preached some sort of message that it bothered some people, and they stoned him to death. But he was a waiter on tables, as Acts calls it. And so the apostles in turn, and then when they scattered out, they in turn had their little bit of a following. Denominationalism is, if you were, 12 denominations to start with. They were a little bit more in line with each other, but they were individual people, and they eventually did scatter out all over the known world. And now today you can go and find the church of Paul, the church of Thomas, the church of any apostle that there was, of the 12 apostles. And so Jesus started out by selecting his little group. So it's good to have a little bit of a group that kind of wants to learn from you and isn't going to change your basic ways. They may have some good supporting help, because that's what they should be. They're called into the talents and ministry that they have that will be in support of your ministry, because as long as you're the head of your ministry, pastor, then you need a group of people around you that is in agreement, or at least believe in the message that you have and the ministry you have, at least enough that they're right behind you and are more than happy because they got this call of God to serve in ministry by helping you. It works this way. Jesus got 12 apostles. There's the 12 apostles that are around him. He has a nice, good little talk. After all, there's 365 days in a year. And what we read doesn't take all that long to make happen. This happened on this day. This happened on that day. We got a few sermons he had, and then that's all. But 3 years of 365 days a year, and it was pretty much him going around preaching and healing. And sometimes it took a couple of days to walk here and there. But still, Jesus started with a little gathering, and then when he preached, there might be some times, but it just seemed like every time that Jesus preached, everybody that wanted healing came, got healed. And those, when he wasn't healing, there's people that, if they just could touch the hem of his garments, they got healed. And so Jesus is giving an example by actually doing what he is asking us to do, or showing us as a role model a way to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give that opportunity for people to come to know him, because you are telling him why he came, why he died, other features about Jesus. You're also telling them about you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You not only get another comforter when you accept Jesus, there is another feature. You can not only get baptized in water, which people do, they say, hey, you know, you should follow Jesus in baptism in water, and so, you know, you put them in the water, submersion people. They are buried, and then they raise from the dead. You know, Jesus died, died, buried, and rose, and then ascended to heaven. So this is the kind of the deal that is what the baptism in water is representing. There's other people like to make mountains out of molehills sometime, when often the basics is simply you're symbolizing your following Jesus by being baptized, showing death, burial, and resurrection. And this doesn't do anything special. It's just symbolism. It makes you feel better, maybe, because you did it. Because other people see you do it. They're really knowing that you must have a lot of faith if you're going to go around, get baptized in water, get dunked in there, and be a fool of yourself wearing a wet old garment that you got on, and carrying your little bag or something, and so you can dry off and get dressed back up, go sit in the pew again, kind of drying your hair off. You did something that's symbolism. Now, sometimes, you know, your faith and so forth, and the kind of services this, you might get more than you're barking for. You might come out of the water speaking in tongues. So this is something that's not uncommon. This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Generally, Jesus is going to baptize. He doesn't say, lay hands and baptize in my name, because that's not how it works. Jesus baptized. Laying hands and say, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, works just fine. But Jesus is the baptizer here, not you. Baptizing in water, you're the baptizer in the water. You're doing the baptizing. But the baptizing the Holy Spirit is different. When you baptize a person and he comes out, they come out of the water, they go about life. Maybe they feel better, think better, but, you know, glad they did it. But that's about it. When Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a little bit more to it than that. You don't get wet. Well, you could. Jesus is pretty remarkable. You got a sense of humor, too, you know. And it can happen in all kinds of ways that maybe you're not quite expecting. Or it can happen in the mundane, regular way, which is just as exciting. Boy, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's something, you know. And a lot of people just get done laying right out, and they just babble on. They can't even get off the ground. Herman actually talked to one of these and said, you know, was it really you couldn't get off the ground? Were you in la-la land? You had no idea what you're doing? But, you know, there they were. Others of you just pop up praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, you know, out of the blue. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, whatever. It just seems, there you are. You could think it, say, hey, baptize me in the Holy Spirit, boom. Or you could just plead and beg and scream and cry and flood the floor with your tears trying to get Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Just won't happen. Not because of anything wrong. Not because, who knows, 2,000 years gone by and we can't just go around and trying to figure out why Jesus did this or that. Our favorite way is to say you must sin. Well, we're all sinners. We all don't deserve baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all don't deserve salvation or getting the other comforter. We don't deserve to go to heaven. If you get this figured out, then you don't have to try to look for sins in others and saying that you must be doing this or that. Because the world's getting close to 7 billion people today, people. And guess what? There's a pretty strange way people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there's not no particular ritual you do to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You just ask Jesus. Jesus just does it. Sometimes it's time-consuming to get to that point. Other times it'll happen, and you're hardly even asking for it. Sometimes you're not even asking for it. Go figure. We have history. We have 2,000 years, and as good and as much as you studied your doctrine and to set it up and believe in your doctrines, there's a whole world out there with 2,000 years of Jesus Christ and Christianity going by with lots of stuff going on, and you're not going to go and give the credit to Satan for some of this stuff that's gone on that is completely from Jesus Christ. Jesus heals. Rise and be healed. At any time during as I'm speaking, you can reach out towards the television, hold your spot of ailment, physical problem, and ask Jesus to heal you in His name. You could receive your healing just by touching your TV monitor right now or putting your hand out towards it and holding that spot and say, Jesus, heal me. You could go many, many times to healing services and never get healed. You live otherwise a pretty good life, and inside yourself you're doing the best you can, and so you don't have any problems there. Other people see you and they can see that you're living and Jesus is in you and with you and all that kind of stuff, and you don't get healed. You die. Why didn't you heal me? Well, you get to find out when you die, but otherwise there's no clue. It's not sin, it's not anything else, it's just a fact. Whenever we finally get to realize lots of things in life are just a fact, and we may not be able to understand why, sometimes it's fun to live, and in revelations about things is wonderful. Whoa! Now I get it! You know, just because one person gets it doesn't mean you're going to get it, understand something that goes on. Why so many die? How can you understand it? It's a terrible thing, but it's a fact. Jesus is still who he is. Some people want to condemn him, say he's killing everybody and all that. Everybody, you hear it all. But this doesn't mean this is how it is. It's just a fact. Sometimes he moves in our lives. We can ask for silly things and he'll give it to us. We can ask for serious, life-threatening things and he won't give it to us, and we'll die flat out, or our family members will die flat out. What are we going to do? Blame them? Refer to 2,000 years of Christianity. There's no sure way to get all the guaranteed promises happen to you while you're alive. You will get a lot. You'll get enough. But praise God. He provides hope. He provides way. He shows you something. He sends the messengers that say, rise and be healed. He said, it's real, as Jerry Bernard said way back a long time ago. You can click onto his website. There it is, singing there. Well, I remembered it when he first started singing that. It's real, that Pentecostal experience, something like that. Pretty neat. But it is real. That Pentecostal experience. Generally, miracles occur more often and most often with people that are Pentecostal, at least as the ministers of the spiritual gifts. Now, the people that get healed, when Jesus healed people, how many were saved? Multitudes come. He hasn't even died on the cross. He hasn't really finished telling this story that if you die and believe that I'm the Son of God, you know, that God rose me on the third day, you know, this hadn't happened yet. So generally speaking, we could say these people are unbelievers and Jesus is healing them right and left. So don't think that healing is for people of faith, that people that believe that Jesus is the Messiah or Christ, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Because Jesus was pre-accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. He was just telling the people about this kind of stuff. And it wasn't until he rose that the apostles got out there drunk as ye suppose, but it was the ninth hour, which 9 o'clock in the morning. It's just unlikely that they would be drunk. And what's they're all speaking there in everybody's language, a big thing going on there. Everybody, different countries, a whole bunch of countries from all these countries. So they was listening to how come they're praising God in my language and these people never learn the language. And then 5,000, something like that, came to Jesus because they preached the salvation message at that time. Healing is a gift to a human being. And God sends messengers. He gives some people gifts of healing. He gives other people other gifts, and he gives severally. He doesn't just give one gift. So you will have enough gifts if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit might be able to operate in some gifts. But if you have, as he says, he divides the gifts and severally to each person. So you're going to get a number of gifts. You're not ever going to get just one gift. You may never ever get just two gifts. So you may have to try to figure out which ones you got, and you might not find out for a long time unless you play around with it, because gifts of the Spirit are your will. You choose. A lot of times you see these faith healers getting up and waiting to get you all psyched up until a certain point, and it's great because, boy, we're getting there, we're doing what we're supposed to do, praising God and all that's wonderful, and this is really the good time that you're going to get some nice, good healings going on here, because now you're actually, Jesus is inhabiting the praises of his people, and we're getting someplace. But gifts of the Spirit are gifts of the Spirit. You got that, you don't really need a bunch of fanfare. Somebody, you just see somebody and you say, hey, be healed in the name of Jesus. And they'll be healed. And some of us that's got the other gifts severally, we're going to have to you operate in these gifts to build up a situation where we can actually bring about some of these healings in Jesus' name. Again, if you have an infirmity, if you have a problem, if you have some emotional stress going on that you can't seem to shake, it has nothing to do with real life around you, it's just bugging you. Some people might want to try to lay a hold on and tell you that it's demons or something. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. So you can lay your hand on your brain, you know, say, hey, you know, fix up there somehow. Again, put your hand towards the screen and say, in the name of Jesus, the condition be healed, whatever your condition is. Sometimes having faith to believe this is helpful. Sometimes grain of mustard seed is all you need. Sometimes it's the faith of the person laying hands. Some people is going to have faith enough that they can say, oh, let's see, here I am. You, and you, come up here to the front. Now everybody that needs healing, come up, get in line by these people, let them lay hands on them. And zap, 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 you're getting healed like crazy. And these people down here, they don't have no gifts or nothing. But it's going to happen. Faith counts. Jesus heals today. Never stopped healing. We stopped allowing time in our church to heal. Who cares if nobody gets healed that particular service? Are you going to not preach the salvation message or present the offer to accept Jesus and tell the short story, maybe really short, save me a sinner, as one business minister said. I forgot his name, but he used to be on TBN a lot. When he had his program, at the end of it, he says, God save me a sinner. Well, in those words are the heartfelt understanding of why Jesus came and died. Most often we give a little bit more detail. And so those of you that don't know Jesus, you can turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and forgive me of my sins. That kind of a prayer gives you more detail of what it is that you're believing. And when you're speaking this publicly, that is also confession to others, which will seal that salvation. If you're praying this silently or nobody else is around, then at some point or another, if somebody asks or if you're feeling like telling somebody, tell them, you accepted Jesus and this and that. It was wonderful. Then you can ask Jesus to baptize your Holy Spirit. I would suggest you find a church that believes in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit and follow in water baptism and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Read the Bible. Acts chapter 2 tells you about this. You can get an idea of what's going on. But Jesus heals now. And any of you wannabes that really love Jesus and really want to be able to have healings, gather together your little support team like Jesus did. And then every time you preach, let there be time to ask people to accept Jesus and for the laying on of hands to be healed. And don't worry about if nobody gets healed or not, because at some point it's going to happen. See you next week.